The proclamation of the word. Today's lesson is from Romans 8, verses 22 to 26. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as children, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what they see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our responsive song this morning is from Psalm 150. Hallelujah! Praise God in His holy temple.
Praise Him in the firmament of His power.
Praise Him for His mighty acts.
Praise Him for His excellent greatness.
Praise Him with the blast of the ram's horn.
Praise Him with lyre and harp.
Praise Him with timbrel and dance.
Praise Him with strings and pipe.
Praise Him with resounding cymbals.
Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals.
Let everything that hath breath praise
the Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Would you please stand as Jacob reads for us the Gospel reading.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please pray with me. Holy Lord, we welcome your presence here. May thy word only be spoken, and thy word only be heard.
Amen. Please be seated.
Uh-oh. You have a tricky pew at the front here. Hopefully it won't collapse. First, I want to say I'm always amazed by how the worship, the Spirit worships with the music that just says exactly what it was that I wanted to say. Almost, I don't need to preach to you. It captures what I wanted to say this morning. And I love the way that our children and our young people are part of that and share that with you. This is an amazing gift of Little Trinity, the young people and the ones that have grown up here, some of whom I baptized when they were this size, and some of whom are now right up here. This morning we are going to look at the gospel passage that was assigned in the lectionary by church leaders to be read in this church and throughout the world for those who are using the lectionary. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, my husband and I accompanied our family to the church where they worship. The children's leader called the smaller children to the front and read the story of how Mary had gone to the tomb, but Jesus' body was not there. And then she made the mistake of asking these small children where Jesus' body had gone. My 5-year-old grandson, who has an answer for most things and is learning, thanks to his older siblings, about the wonders of Minecraft, suggested that perhaps Jesus had been teleported. Yeah, it amused the congregation too. And apparently, he confided in me later that he knew Jesus hadn't been teleported. He was just being funny. Jesus, he said, had just gone. So on this morning, when Jesus had just gone, but we celebrated his coming yesterday, we know how the story goes. But in light of the gospel, I want us to consider the reaction of Jesus' disciples when they heard that Jesus was not in the tomb, not teleported, but somehow disappeared, leaving a big, empty, gaping hole. Just gone. When Mary Magdalene, bowed over and weeping at the entrance to the tomb, expected to find Jesus' body, he was gone. And it wasn't until the moment that she heard his voice speaking her name that she knew he had died, but now he was alive. One word, her name spoken as only he, the shepherd, can speak. Her name, your name, Mary. And Mary knew his voice. Did she reach out to touch him? John doesn't tell us. What we are told is that Jesus says, "Do not touch me," or "cling to me," as some of the translations have it. And he appointed Mary Magdalene, the first one, to go and tell, which surely she did with a heart brimming with joy. She surely runs to tell the disciples who are fearfully gathered in the room, locked room. "I've seen the Lord." What is their response? Again, we're not told. If you remember the gospel reading from last week, they didn't believe the words of the women. But John is not specific in his gospel. But what we may think is that they need to see for themselves in order to believe. And they didn't have to wait long, because that very evening, our Lord stands in the midst of them. And he speaks to them and shows them his hands and his side. He is not dead, but alive. As the prophet Ezekiel spoke God's words to the dry bones, "I will cause breath to enter you and you will live." And Jesus breathes the Spirit on his disciples, bringing new life and hope where hope was lost. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And now, just as Mary did, the disciples tell Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas openly says he needs proof. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hands at his side, I will never believe." Was Thomas's reaction so very different from the other disciples when Mary told them that she'd seen the Lord? So I wonder, what does the gospel writer want us to hear this morning? One question might be, why wasn't Thomas with the community? Why wasn't he with the ones who in that room were surely praying, though fearful, praying together? But where was Thomas? Was it all too much for him? Had he gone off to do something else? That same Thomas who, when Jesus heard of the death of Lazarus, and despite reservations that Jesus would be stoned to death, said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we might die with him." I don't know about you, but I'm going through a difficult or a dark time. I tend to withdraw, though I acknowledge that may be not always the best response. But when I withdraw, I look at those psalmists. Today we heard the glorious, praising psalms, but there's so many psalms which ache with longing and darkness, sometimes wondering, is the Lord there? And for those of you who know me, you won't be surprised that I listen again and again and again to Mike Janssen's Psalms CD, The Canyon, for those watching online, because he speaks through the psalmists of the struggles and the pain and the darkness and often the light that shines through despite everything that we face. Maybe Thomas just needed to get away for a while. But in leaving his community, he missed seeing the risen Christ the first time. And it would be another 8 days before our Lord would come again. 8 days to show Thomas and the disciples the wounds that he bore for them and for our world. 8 days of hearing but not knowing, of wondering, of praying, of hoping, of dismissing, of confusion. 8 days of longing to believe what seemed to be impossible. In the depths of despair, was any of it real? On this baptism day, the Sunday after Easter, a day to rejoice and be glad, a day when we gather to make significant and serious promises, a day when we begin a journey as followers of Christ, are there any here who might dare to wonder, is any of it real? Is any of it real? And if we dare to ask those questions, if we dare to admit our doubts, does that mean that we're not true believers? A few days ago, I listened to a talk given by the very Reverend Dr. Mark Oakley, who is the Dean of Southwark Cathedral in England. And he quotes Meister Eckhart, who wrote, "God is like a person hiding in the dark who occasionally coughs, giving himself away." I love that, I have to tell you. God is like a person hiding in the dark who occasionally coughs, giving himself away. He's got to be fairly close if we can hear that cough. A muffled reality, just beyond our grasp. We cannot cling onto, even if we long to do so. And it is this longing that Oakley says is the seed of faith. The Song of Solomon addresses that longing and the fear of losing the beloved. I sought him, but I did not find him. I called him, but he gave no answer. For Thomas, there was longing to see, to touch, to hear. Christ had died. Could his closest friends be mistaken, delusional? First there's angels, then there's a gardener who sounds like Jesus, then appearing to them through locked doors. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. The psalmist wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day proclaims his handiwork, pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard." But Jesus is alive, and his voice is heard. There were words, and there are words right in Scripture. He speaks, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. He speaks, and Mary hears her name, and she knows his voice. He speaks, and his word brings creation into being. And Jesus didn't leave Thomas out in the cold. Jesus came to Thomas. He stands in the midst of the gathered community, and he speaks directly to Thomas. Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my side. And Thomas, who surely must be bowed before the feet of his Lord, sees those nail-torn feet and declares, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus, Lord God, the longed-for Messiah, stands before Thomas and asks him, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" And to us through all the ages, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Faith, we are told, is a gift we can choose to accept or reject. Today, before God, Hazel and James's parents and sponsors will make promises on their behalf. Today, Esme, and later this evening, James, will make their own promises. It's the beginning of a lifelong journey that lightly will go through many phases, the hills and the valleys, and God willing, those grace-filled moments that renew and refresh. And you here, the gathered congregation and those watching, gathered here, join with the candidates to make promises to support them. Promises made before God and each other to support and to pray. That's one of the reasons why it's so important for children, youth and adults, all of us, to be part of a church community. I, and later this evening, James, will say the words at the font. But baptism is the work of God. Understand, the work of God. In the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not me, not you, not dependent on you or me or your faith or mine. It is the work of God alone. Baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And marked by the newly blessed chrism oil with the sign of the cross as Christ's own forever. Christ's own forever, who can never be separated from the love of God. For parents and sponsors and grandparents and all gathered here, we promise to the best of our ability and with God's help to pray for, walk with, and support Hazel, James, Esme, and later Alex. And to continue to nurture our own lives with Jesus and with others in the church community. That church community with strengths and weaknesses, joys and sorrows, our differences and disagreements. We come together with God in our presence, who draws us to himself, abiding in and beside us, whether we feel it or not. Jesus did not desert Thomas, and he will not desert us. He will not desert you. Christ's own forever. Nothing, 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 Paul told us, can separate us from the love of God, whether we feel it or not. At some point, those baptized today will make their own decisions whether to accept the gift of new life that is offered to them this day. And I hope that they will know that it's okay to ask questions, to raise doubts, but so important to be surrounded by those who will pray with them and remind them the stone has been rolled away. Jesus died on the cross, but he is alive. And encourage them to keep showing up on Sundays, to hear the words, and be reminded to sing God's praises, even when we can't quite bring ourselves to do those things that we do. They're good, most of the time. To sing the praises of God, to pray peace, as our Lord did, to touch and take the bread and the wine, to receive God's offer of his body and blood, the body that bled for you and me, the God who died for you and for me. And so we celebrate this day, new life for Hazel and James and Esme, new life in the waters of baptism. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we may catch a glimpse of your glory. Open our ears, Lord, that we might hear anew and afresh the words of the shepherd who calls us by name. Open our hearts, Lord, that we may lay down the burdens we cling to and relinquish them to you, so that standing in your glorious light, we might receive your love and breathe in the new life you offer, now and always. Amen. Alleluia, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.